to remember what life was like back then. I believed them when they told me that I was alone in the world and that this place and time were invincible. Before that day in September, in April, in December, in May, in November, when this city's veins opened and we lived 100 years of history in one afternoon, the world has changed and we have changed with it. The stories we were told about ourselves and our place in the world no longer seem to make sense, and they have left us to walk these streets as strangers. And so we walk and we listen to other voices in other places.
Everywhere today, every aspect of our lives is being violently reorganized. Everywhere there is war. A war without a battlefield. A war without an enemy. A war that is everywhere. A thousand civil wars. A war without end. The Fourth World War.
On the one side is a system of terrifying violence. And on the other side are all of us. All of us who will stop this war.
Welcome to the Fourth World War. Every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1, and every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 here on Fail FM 103.2 Belfast, and every Thursday from 4 to 4:30 on near 90.3 FM in Dublin. We bring you the latest news from the trenches, from the barricades, from the front lines of the war between rich and poor, from the Fourth World War. This internationalist journey we do every week. Today we are going to have several stops in some of the hottest places in the planet. And these are Afghanistan, Palestine, Venezuela, we'll see if we have more time for some other stopovers. Because for the second half of the program, we have a fantastic interview carried out in democracynow.org. With a former Rage Against the Machine guitarist Morello. And it's an interview talking about music, politics, revolution, and his new music project, which is called Street Sweeper Social Club. So stay tuned for the next 25 minutes or so. This is the Fourth World War.
Fourth World War.
Fail FM 103.2.
Palestine, we have news from Palestine as Israel bombs Gaza as peace talks start. Peace talks between Israel and the Palestinian Authority started on September 2nd. After the resumption of negotiations, Israel refrained from attacking Gaza for just 2 days. Then it ordered the bombing of two Rafah tunnels that connected that connect the Visage Gaza Strip to Egypt, killing two workers and leaving two severely injured. Then, in the second missile attack by Israel on Gaza since negotiations resumed, the Israeli military carried out airstrikes on three regions of the Gaza Strip late on September 9th. The attacks came as inhabitants prepared to celebrate Eid al-Fitr, the Muslim holiday marking the end of the holy month of Ramadan. An 84-year-old farmer and his grandson, of 14-year-old grandson, were also killed in one of the attacks. In Afghanistan, U.S. soldiers charge over kill squad. 12 American soldiers face charges over a secret kill team that allegedly blew up and shot Afghan civilians at random and collected their fingers as trophies. In one of the most serious accusations of war crimes to emerge from the Afghan conflict, the killings are alleged to have been carried out by members of a Striker Infantry Brigade based in Kandahar province in southern Afghanistan. Just off today, we heard news that more soldiers from the north of Ireland, based in the north of Ireland, are being sent to Afghanistan for a six-month campaign. All of it just ahead of new elections in Afghanistan. And we already have fraud allegations even before through some reports. As this one says, U.S. NATO command and their puppets in Kabul are pushing ahead with lower house elections in Afghanistan on September 18th. This is despite civilian casualties rising by 31% this year, a surge of occupying troop numbers and new evidence of widespread corruption emerging. A scandal surrounding the country's largest commercial bank, Kabul Bank, has implicated one of Afghan President Hamid Karzai's brothers, Mahmoud Karzai, when head of Kabul Bank is said to have made millions from risk investments in the collapsing Dubai property market. Finally, and very quickly, we have reports that U.S. bid for South American war fails. Venezuela's decision to re-establish diplomatic, political, and economic relations with Colombia on August the 10th was only possible thanks to a range of circumstances and actions. Venezuela cut ties on July 22nd in the face of allegations made by Colombia at the Organization of American States of alleged Venezuelan support for left-wing Colombian guerrillas. The Venezuelan government said these allegations were part of an attempt backed by the U.S. to spark a war between the two nations. Finally, and after elections in Colombia, as we said, there are new political and diplomatic relations established between both countries, but still the danger of American intervention is there.
By any means necessary. By any means necessary.
The Fourth World War. Weekly reports and interviews from the front lines of the war between rich and poor.
Now we quickly go for this interview carried out in democracynow.org with Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine and his new project, musical project, Street Sweeper Social Club. And I think it's a fantastic interview and talks about something we've talked before here about music, politics and revolution. So here we go, and we hope you enjoy it. Break down, make your chauffeur get high, smash up your stretch rolls up on Rodeo Drive, off to the breaking backs of others where you got all your bucks, till we make the revolution, I just hope your life sucks. All my people in the place, put your fist in the air, all my down ones, let's get up out of your chairs, all my real down, cause we got love for you here. 100 Little Curses from Street Sweeper Social Club.
Morello, how did you and Boots get together?
Boots and I became acquainted in 2003. We were on an acoustic tour called the Tell Us the Truth Tour with Steve Earle and Billy Bragg. And while I've been a fan of Boots Riley's music in his group The Coup, it was on this tour where I got to realize his lyrical brilliance in the context of an acoustic setting. We became good friends as well. I was in a band called Audio Slave when that band disintegrated. I called Boots up. I took him out to an inexpensive Brazilian dinner. And at that dinner, I told him, we are in a band together. It's called Street Sweeper Social Club. It's going to be revolutionary party jams. And I handed him a cassette tape of about 20 musical ideas, and I said, start writing. Now, poor Boots had hardly time to digest his plantains, and he had to start looking for a cassette deck to play that thing to begin writing the songs.
Which was really hard to find.
It was very difficult to find. That was the bar for his inclusion into the social club. But he managed to do it, and we've been a group ever since.
What was the first song you wrote?
Somewhere in the World It's Midnight. You know, that song is just basically taking the idea that, you know, people are always saying it's not time. We're not ready to struggle. We're not at that point where we can do this. We can build a mass movement. And it's saying, look, all of these things are going on all over the world somewhere, and it's time to take a stand right now. I mean, basically the same thing all of my songs say. They all say the same thing in different ways. Sorry, you know.
Hey, the one thing that Boots doesn't, which I found attractive in a bandmate, is that his lyrics, but they combine a wit and a satire along with the political venom. You know, it's one part Huey P. Newton and it's one part Richard Pryor.
So talk about your organizing, and you're both organizers, which you came out of organizing. Tom, you're doing it right now. Both of you are in Oakland. You're doing it around Arizona.
This is Tom Morello for Soundstrike. Soundstrike is encouraging all artists and musicians to boycott the state of Arizona over the passage of SB 1070, the racist law that's basically a version of softcore apartheid. And we're trying to get that law off the books by bringing as much economic pressure to bear on the state by withholding our creative and commercial services from the state of Arizona, encouraging all artists and musicians to join us.
And myself were part of the Soundstrike movement in Arizona that was founded by Rage Against the Machine frontman Zach De La Rocha. And, you know, it's part of the international movement to attack this festering racist legislation, which we are afraid may go viral to other states as well. And to, you know, to use what power and voice we have as musicians to let our audience know that we're not going to be complicit in it. And so artists have been, you know, from actors like Chris Rock to directors like Michael Moore to a rainbow coalition of musicians, both domestically and internationally, have vowed to boycott Arizona until that legislation is put to bed once and for all. And while we're all in favor of immigration reform that treats everyone involved, that respects everyone's opinion, treats everyone involved with the humanity and dignity they deserve, this racist legislation must not stand. We're going to do what we can by withdrawing our economic power from the state of Arizona until it's
changed. What response have you gotten?
Well, I mean, the response is has been great among musicians. A lot of, you know, surprisingly, people have come out of the woodwork from artists that are not known for their politics, like Maroon 5 or Joe Satriani, you know, instrumental musicians like that, have, you know, pitched
Kanye
in.
West.
Kanye West, have been very happy to join that movement.
Tell us where you come from, Tom. Who are your parents?
I was raised by my mom, Mary Morello, who founded an anti-censorship organization called Parents for Rock and Rap that was the anti-PMRC, Parents Music Resource Center, founded by Tipper Gore, which is a pro-censorship organization. My father's Kenyan. My parents met in East Africa. My great uncle is Jomo Kenyatta, who was Kenya's first president. And my mom went there to teach. You know, they have these miles from a
Well, it seems to be some sort of problem with the interview. We are going to try to catch it up. And you're listening here to the Fourth World War on Fela FM 103.2 in Belfast and near 90.3 FM in Dublin. We were listening to this interview carried out by democracynow.org with Tom Morello, a former guitar player of Rage Against the Machine, and they are talking about different topics all related to music and politics and political commitment there in the States and around the world.
Necessary. By any means necessary. By any means necessary.
The Fourth World War. Weekly reports and interviews from the front lines of the war between rich and poor.
While we try to get that interview back, we are going to listen to Asian Dub Foundation, a very good example of a political commitment and a fantastic good quality music.
Tomorrow begins today. Tomorrow begins today. I know of a place not so far away where no government holds sway, where no prime minister will be given the time of day, where every person demands to have a say, and they say tomorrow begins today. They say tomorrow begins today. So I know I must find a way. I'm leaving today, to where no fences may bar my way, where my imagination can be led astray. They say tomorrow begins today. They say tomorrow begins today.
And here we continue with this interview, and Tom Morello and Boots Keel were talking about their backgrounds and about their parents. So here we go with this interview.
He heads up the Haiti Action Committee, or one of the heads, actually. I'm sorry.
In Oakland,
mm-hmm. California.
So you continue your organizing in Oakland. Oscar Brandt.
Right now, you know, it's so hard to put it like this. If you've ever dealt with musicians, it's hard to get them to the studio or to the show on time. So the idea of organizing at the same time as being a musician is something that I've really... tried to figure out how to do. So, you know, I shy away from people saying that I am an organizer. I have been an organizer, and I try to lend my music to struggles and campaigns as it comes about. And I've been involved in different campaigns as it goes around. But there are a lot of musicians that claim that they are organizers, and I don't want to.
But what do you think the issues are important to organize around now in Oakland and around the country?
Well, I think that those are the same issues that are important to organize around all over the world. What people are worried about is how are they going to have a roof over their heads? How are they going to put food on the table? Because of that, what wages are they getting paid? I think that a lot of the radical movements have left behind some of those regular, everyday things. You know, when I talk to people in Oakland and throughout my time growing up in Oakland, people have said to me, you know, what you're talking about, this, you know, revolution, socialism, communism, all of that is great, but I got to pay the bills. There was a time when that was one and the same thing. Right now there is a lot of focus on the macroeconomic problems and what's left, who's left to deal with the everyday nuts and bolts of people's lives are not the radical element. And so I think that we need to put some revolutionary politics onto some reform struggles that have to do with feeding people, have to do with people getting higher wages, some militant union work, basically, things like that.
So I want to talk about organizing, doing music under President Obama. Tom Morello, when it came to Bush, you were really out there. You made a video that closed down Wall Street.
Sure.
Your concert at the Democratic Convention in Los Angeles closed down the concert. Talk about the different organizing you did then, and what are you doing now?
You got a big event that needs to be closed down. You get Rage Against the Machine to show up. It's likely that it will. Well, I mean, I didn't choose to be a guitar player. That chose me. So with that is my de facto calling. Throughout my career, you know, since I started playing guitar at 17 years old, I've tried to find ways to wend my music with my politics.
Now, weren't you as the scheduler for Senator Alan Krantz?
Yeah, I was Alan Krantz's scheduling secretary for a couple of years, which was basically just a day job. It was the one job I could get with my Harvard degree. I had no work experience. I couldn't get hired to sell Iron Maiden T-shirts on Hollywood Boulevard, but they would hire me to do Senator Krantz and schedule. That was actually very instructive, because during my time at Alan Krantz, you know, God rest his soul, he was as progressive a senator as you'd want. He still spent most of his time on the phone asking rich guys for money. That was my experience, day-to-day experience, which was very instructive, and it made me think that there was a pressure in that office to sort of conform to this rigid decorum, which was, you know, as a dyed-in-wool punk rocker was just not going to fly. For example, one day a woman called up, wanted to speak to the center. He was unavailable, so I fielded her call, and she was complaining because Mexicans were moving into her neighborhood. She was wanted to let the center know that she was opposed to that, and I said, "Ma'am, you're a damn racist, and you can go to hell." Thinking that I had done the senator's good work that day. Well, I was yelled at for about 2 weeks, and, you know, up and down the ladder. And I realized then that if I'm in a job where I can't tell damn racist to go to hell, then I'm not in the correct job. So that's when I vowed that I would continue with my guitar playing and perhaps leave the senatorial work to someone
else. What about your guitar style?
My guitar style was, I mean, it was born and bred of late 70s 7-Eleven parking lot rock. I grew up loving the hard rock bands of the 70s, but then it was groups like The Clash and Public Enemy that I could relate to the lyrics, and I tried to incorporate styles that went beyond you know, traditional guitar playing. In Rage Against the Machine, I was the DJ as the guitar player. And so I started incorporating styles that went beyond sort of the normal Chuck Berry, Keith Richards riffs, and until I found my own voice on the instrument.
Mm-hmm. You're also influenced by Pete Seeger.
Sure, very much. In my when not playing with Street Sweeper or with Rage Against the Machine, I have a solo project called The Night Watchman, and that's I came to folk music late, but I really love it, and I've made a couple of records and have another one in the can now. And I've found that I've always been drawn to music that is heavy, and I realized in discovering folk music, the music of Pete Seeger, in particular the early Dylan and the Springsteen acoustic albums, that music doesn't require Marshall stacks in order to be very heavy, and that three chords and the truth can be just as devastating as any powerful riff.
Is there a song from Night Watch?
And that was those were some scripts from a very interesting interview carried out by democracynow.org with Tom Morello and Butch Kills for Street Sweeper Social Club, a new project that combines music, great music, and politics.
When they told me that I was alone in the world.
And that was the Fourth World War for today. We'll be back next week. Thank you for being there.
Before that day, in September, in April, in December, in May, in November, when this city's veins opened and we lived 100 years of history in one afternoon, the world has changed and we have changed with it. The stories we were told about ourselves and our place in the world no longer seem to make sense, and they have left us to walk these streets as strangers. And so we walk and we listen to other voices in other places.
Everywhere today, every aspect of our lives is being violently reorganized. Everywhere there is war. A war without a battlefield. A war without an enemy. A war that is everywhere. A thousand civil wars. A war without end. The Fourth World War.
On the one side is a system of terrifying violence. And on the other side are all of us. All of us who will stop this war.